I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My guest today, Anne Baroche, CNC, healed herself of multiple sclerosis and has been symptom-free for 22 years. She brings her personal experience and 18 years of private practice to help you heal and recapture your vitality. Among her specialties are allergies, autoimmune disease, and candida. Anne has released her third book, The Candida Cure Cookbook, Delicious Recipes to Reset Your Health and Restore Your Vitality, Sugar-Free, Gluten-Free, Yeast-Free, and Dairy-Free. As a nutritional consultant, naturopath, educator, award winner, author, an inspirational speaker, and is passionate about helping people realize that the body has an innate intelligence that allows it to heal itself. She firmly believes that with choice and diligence, each of us has the power to overcome any challenge. Anne appeared on the Montel Williams Show and was also in the documentary The Business of Disease. She was winner of the 2016 Intellectual Book Awards in Health, winner of the 2016 San Francisco Book Festival Award for Best Cookbook, and finalist in the 2016 National Indies Excellence Award for Cookbooks. More information about Anne is available at http://tinyurl.com/H25TBBO. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Anne, and I look forward to hearing about multiple sclerosis and candida. Now, you healed yourself from multiple sclerosis. Can you briefly tell us about this?
Yes. First of all, thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure. And, you know, I'll just give you a quick synopsis because my childhood really just lays it all out in how I think autoimmune disease happens in the first place. I was a sugar addict until I was 18. I had at least 60 doses of antibiotics by the time I was that age from having so many colds and flus and sinus infections. I had tubes put in my ears when I was 6, 7, or 8, and I was actually immune to penicillin by the time I was 9 because I had had it so often. I also had every tooth rotted out from all the sugar, so by the time I was a teenager, I had 15 or 16 silver amalgam fillings, and I was type A. Mm. So say no more. And basically, my first major health crisis came at 18, 19. I was diagnosed with Epstein-Barr virus, mono. No big deal, kissing disease. You're supposed to rest. Well, I did that, but unfortunately, I didn't get better. And within an eight-month period, I saw over, you know, maybe it was a three-month period, I saw 8 different specialists. Mm-hmm. And I was on more than 20 different medications, and I was really dying and toxic from just all the drugs and being a guinea pig. And it was at that time that Medical Intuitive came in my life and said I was loaded with candida, and I thought, what the hell is that? I thought that's a song. and then at the same time, Dr. William Crook, who was really the second MD to popularize candida, came out with a book called The Yeast Connection. That book fell on my lap. Mm-hmm. And I took the questionnaire and I cried and I was like, this was every symptom I had. Mm. My score was off the charts, and it said to follow an anti-candida diet and, you know, get on nystatin. So I was able to get Nelstat, the powder, at that time. And it took me about a year to get better, but I didn't realize that having such a chronic yeast overgrowth history that I needed to keep myself in check and balance. So I kept going on my ways and back to some of my bad habits. And at 24, I was sitting in a restaurant, and to you, it would look like a conscious epileptic attack. And I started to spasm and tremor uncontrollably. And within a couple weeks, I sat across, after neurological testing, I sat across from the physician. He said, the great news is you don't have cancer. The bad news is you have multiple sclerosis. Mm. We have chemotherapy, and get ready for the wheelchair. So I was an only child, and I looked at my mom, and I said, if I take this chemotherapy, I'm not going to make it. I said, I'm so fragile. I was having those immune response attacks every day for at least 8 months. So basically, I had trouble breathing, swallowing, moving, functioning, seeing. And I said, if I'm going to go, I've got to do it my way. So it took a lot of courage, and we both walked out of that office visit. And then within a four-year span, which was very tumultuous, I literally cracked physiologically and psychologically. I survived a near-death experience and a suicide attempt. But it really was kind of it opened me up to what I was going to be able to do and how I could connect to people. But the gist of what I did to get well, I went back on an anti-candida diet of no sugars, alcohol, corn, gluten, dairy. And I got I went back on nystatin tablets, and I took that for over 2 years. I took minimal supplementation because I didn't know what I know now. And I worked on emotional mental layers, and I removed 15, 16 silver fillings. And after 4 years and slowly, and I do mean slowly, coming and crawling from a very dark place, I was able to, I say, change my DNA. And it's been 22 years now that I've never looked back.
Wonderful. Right. So there is something to the amalgam and fillings.
I do think so. I don't think everybody that has amalgam in their mouth has to rush and get that out. It really is about immune tolerance. So I think when you have an autoimmune condition or something chronic, that you're probably more, your immune system's more weak than you're compromised. Those are cases that need to be looked at. And also, those amalgams are not going to last an entire lifetime. So as they start to crack, they're going to leach more toxins. And, you know, mercury's probably one of the top poisons you could ever have in your body. So, you know, it just depends case by case, but I definitely think that those heavy metals wipe out good bacteria, which then disrupt the microbiome, and that leads to candida, parasites, et cetera.
Are you familiar with the work of Anthony Williams?
Anthony Williams, that doesn't ring a bell to me.
I think he's one of the best-known intuitive psychics in the country, because he has thousands and thousands of followers on Facebook. And I tried to get in to see him. I've been on...
Oh, yes, he's a medical medium. Correct.
Right.
I know who you're talking about now. Okay.
And I've been on a list for 3 or 4 years. So, I mean, he is very popular. And he had a book come out probably 6 months ago in which he says that Epstein-Barr, which you mentioned, is the cause of most of the autoimmune and other diseases that we have. And he says that medicine does not know enough about Epstein-Barr, but there's actually four phases, and that each phase gets worse. And he mentions candida, and he mentions multiple sclerosis, and a variety of different diseases that are a result of the Epstein-Barr.
Well, it's true. I actually know because I know the book now. There's so many books and things that I read. I actually, we're kind of close together, but I actually think it's the other way around. I think it's the yeast overgrowth that allows that virus to come out of dormancy. So I definitely think, so I think he's, you know, my take on it is a little different. I think they're both relevant because we're full of viruses, but as long as your immune system is strong, they stay in dormancy. But for me, I feel it's the chicken or the egg, what comes first, I feel it's the yeast, and that will bring out that Epstein-Barr. So that's, you know, I think we're all in the same camp because any way you go about it, you have to clean up infection and build up the immune system.
Then, Anne, you've written a book on cookbook on candida. Can you tell us how that came about?
Sure, that was, I've written two other books. My first was Healing Multiple Sclerosis, and that was really for those with MS or autoimmune conditions. You know, I spent, that was my baby because I wrote about the physiological aspects of a disease along with the psychological, because I feel that's really what brings you there. There's only, the roots to inflammation, which cause everything, come down to nutritional deficiency, environmental toxicity, stress that's not managed, and infections such as yeast, virus, et cetera. And that book, you know, spawned everything that I do. The baseline is always an anti-candida program. And so when I wrote that, it was great, and I put a couple recipes in. And then I realized after, you know, probably at that time, 13 years of practice, that I learned what were the basic common denominators people were coming in with that didn't need testing. I knew that they had dysbiosis and the balance of good tobacco bacteria was off. I knew their blood sugar was off, whether it's high or low. Their adrenals were taxed because of stress, and the liver, gallbladder needed to be decongested, and so did the blood and lymphatic system. So I put together a 90-day program, and that birthed the second book, The Candida Cure.
Mm-hmm.
And what I started to hear was people are like, this is wonderful, but I'd love some more recipes. So mm-hmm. I love to cook, but that's not my forte. And it was after one of my own, you know, I seem to be the human guinea pig this lifetime to be able to help others, but I needed to have a total hysterectomy 3 years ago. And at that time, when I was healing, I met a wonderful chef who wants to specialize in being a candida chef. Mm-hmm. I meet this person, and I said to her, I love your food. I need to hire you. I need a cookbook that has breads, because people on a yeast program don't think they can have bread.
Mm-hmm.
They need desserts to be able to hang in there. And that's really what birthed that cookbook. And
oh.
It took 2.5 years, and people love it because now they don't feel deprived. They feel mm-hmm. they have mm-hmm. the variety and all that they need to be able to be successful.
Mm-hmm. Would you tell the listeners then a little bit about what Candida is? And why
sure.
you consider it, I think you've mentioned this, but why you consider it the silent epidemic?
Candida is ubiquitous. Everybody has it, male, female, child. It's a single-celled yeast organism. It starts that way. And over time, it can morph into a fungal hyphal form. And basically, let's talk about the GI tract. You want to have 80% good bacteria, 15 to 20% not so good. And yeast normally habitate there, and when you take things such as antibiotics, birth control pills, steroids, poor diet, etc., you're going to throw off this ratio. So, for example, if you're 7, you had an ear infection,
mm-hmm.
and you take antibiotics, it destroys good and bad bacteria, and the yeast is not affected, so it can't keep it in check. And so what happens is then if you're eating sugar, dairy, crackers, anything that turns into sugar rapidly, it feeds this yeast through a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So people don't understand that you only have to have one dose of antibiotics in your lifetime to have yeast overgrowth years later. You only have to have possibly a stressful event where you were, elevating adrenal and hormones and also blood sugar to be able to feed something like this. And so when this yeast continues to multiply, it goes from that single-celled form to a root fungal form. It will burrow out of the intestinal tract. And we know that permeability now is called leaky gut when it gets more permeable. And that's happening more, not just because of candida, but also because of genetically modified food organisms
mm-hmm.
and gluten.
Mm-hmm.
When that fungus gets into the bloodstream, the damage is not so much the critter, I call it, itself. It's more the mycotoxins, the byproducts of that yeast and fungus. And I feel it disrupts communication in the body.
Mm-hmm.
I feel it can attack tissues, organs. And just as the gut gets leaky, so can the barriers to the lungs and the brain. So for
mm-hmm.
some, it can stay in the gut and you have, IBS, gas, bloating, heartburn, reflux. Some, it could be anxiety, depression, brain fog, mental illness, MS. Some, it's going to be the skin. And you can have multiple minor annoying symptoms and not put it all together as yeast. And then when it gets into more chronic conditions, I think it's definitely connected to the root of every autoimmune, and definitely connected to even cancer, because
mm-hmm.
I feel you can't have one without the other. I think when the immune system gets compromised, it can allow cancer viruses to turn on.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it's something that, unfortunately, because testing's not perfected, that's really it, is that there's a stool test, blood test. You could swab, through the nostrils. You can do a spit test, but nothing is foolproof because yeast and parasites are evasive. They like to hide in tissues and organs. So I find that many people are still, not being diagnosed. And then they go on this hunt and take medications and procedures they don't need to.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd love to say there's a great way to know. But the best thing I always say is everybody needs to hit the reset button and clean out. And that's why I wrote the Candida Cure, so everybody could do that.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you a question. I hope I can get it right. A lot of people on Facebook think that you need to maintain an alkaline body balance. And I try to tell them that the body maintains that balance, that you don't need to be doing a lot of stuff to maintain it. But they insist that you got to do stuff. You've got to, drink the proper water and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I tell them, just keep the positive emotions and, don't eat meat, go on a vegan diet, and all will be well. But I also found that the candida will thrive in an alkaline environment. Is that correct? Because they
a gut environment.
Because I think that all of these things that they do are really only affecting the gut environment, aren't they? They aren't affecting the blood, or they aren't affecting, you know, other parts of the body, are they?
Well, I think what we have to realize is that you have different pHs in different parts of the body.
Right,
and
right.
If you vary, you might know this even better, but I think if you vary past 7.25, you're not going to make it either way. So it's all internal. There is that what's called homeostasis. The key is that if you are doing things that I consider more acidic, which would be smoking cigarettes, excessive alcohol, having stressful emotions, eating tons of sugar, then that as a whole is going to make you more acidic. But the point is that you do need to make sure that your gut is in balance. And the way you do that then is by cleaning up. But I don't think you have to work so hard. People are drinking alkaline water.
Right.
And I said, well, that's a disservice in some way. It's medicine. Because if you're drinking alkaline water when you're eating a meal, you're not going to digest that meal.
Right.
You need to have acid to be able to break it down. So the key is, I think if you're sticking more to what I think are vegetables, and particularly your dark leafy greens, you get the right pH in the large and small intestine. You get what you need there. It's simple things. Even like something that I think is so common to use all the time is apple cider vinegar, because it's full of minerals, and it moves out some of the acid waste. So the reality is that I think when people think they have to try so hard to get that alkalinity or acidity, it's beyond the scope of what they'll ever be able to do. And when you just have a cleaner lifestyle, you will get what you need there on the proper pH in those areas. Because they'll do the strips, and I'm not saying there's not value, but I think this is where people can get off on tangents. And, you know, I think the body's brilliant. That's that's what I discovered by conquering MS. The body is more brilliant than science will ever catch up to. And I love science, and I love, you know, there's great things about Western medicine, but we'll never catch up. And so if you go more from a holistic approach in all senses with what you're dealing with, I think that's when really the magic happens. You don't have to be always so myopic. That's the problem, is that if you go fishing long enough, you're going to find the problem. Sometimes you just need to have some of the common denominators and let the body do the rest.
I think that the alkaline water, to me, is almost doing a disservice to the body, because it's working against what the body is trying to do. And if you keep working against it, you may create an imbalance that is going to then create problems. Is that right?
Yes. So that is the key, is that, you know, you have to, and also you have to understand, because we have, whether it's alternative or not, we get into fads. Everything's about a fad. Now it's OD on coconut oil, and then it's OD on become paleo, and then it's, and I always come back to the middle. I've lived a life at times of extremes, and I found being a Libra, it's all about the balance and coming back to the middle. Because I'm not saying for periods of time things don't have to be avoided, but that's what I love about the anti-candida diet, is that I try to give you almost every food group, but I'm really, the only point to that is not deprivation. It's to pull away the foods that are going to inflame the body and feed infection. That's it. Otherwise, once you feel better, it's back to a place of balance and moderation, which has to be very different than 50 years ago. You can't get away with what you used to eat that's junk. I just don't think people can get away with eating all their junk each day. I think 80-20. 80% of the week, you need to eat a lot cleaner, and maybe once or twice a week indulge in what, whether that's a glass of wine or chocolate or whatever you like.
And I'm glad you mentioned the genetically modified foods, because I think that they, as you said, cause a lot of the gluten sensitivity and some of the other conditions we have. And I discovered this because my friends in Germany send me cookies every year for Christmas. And as you probably know, the German cookies are not as sweet as ours, but they're good. And so I don't eat sweets very often, but maybe once a month or something I'll want something, just a little something sweet. So I picked out a German cookie and I ate it, and I got finished and I thought, I bet that had wheat in it. And I looked, and sure enough, it did. But I had no reaction. But I can't eat wheat, rye, barley, or oats without having a reaction in this country. And so I assume that the difference is that it's genetically modified here, but not in Germany.
Well, I think that's a really important point. I think, you know, what I understood at first, I thought that wheat, I think now it's being genetically modified. I guess it was hybridized 50 years ago, which means they changed some of the strains and proteins, and then we put it in everything. So it became meat glue. It became part of cosmetics. It became part of everything. And I think that, in addition to environmental toxicity, so you've got your, you know, the seeds that we're using, the Roundup Ready insecticide seeds, and then you've got already in chemicals. And all of that is playing on the GI lining. And so it's so true. I have people, it does not even about gluten. Anybody that comes from another country to the United States always says to me, I never had issues until I started eating your food. And when they go on vacation, anybody that leaves here to go to another country, they'll go, why can't I eat gelato and I'm fine? And the moment I get here, I get either diarrhea or stomach cramps. And I said, because it's what the you know, what they're not pumping into the cows, what they're feeding them. Maybe they're out eating grass like they should. You know, it's amazing to me that I hear that over and over again. So, yes, it is true that usually we can still get away. I think at this point, most everything, supposedly all wheat around the world, is genetically modified or hybridized at this point. But I think there's still some pockets where it's not. And it's really sad because I think really at this point we're eating chemicals in this country.
Right. Definitely. Right. Right. Even organic. And I try to stay with organic, but I know that that is probably polluted to a degree, too.
It is. I mean, I think you have to have cross-contamination. I mean, you've got winds, and it just is the natural part of it. So, and with that, it becomes, you know, people get scared, and I don't know what to eat. And I said, you can't live in a bubble. So the best to make sure that you are taking care of yourself, that you are, and one of the ways also is not just cleaning out and maintaining more of a healthy lifestyle, making your diet at least 60% vegetables and, you know, drinking lots of water and exercise, meditation, et cetera.
Right.
But it's also having variety. This is how I deal with it. Because, yes, the fish have too much mercury, et cetera. So I say small amounts and variety. That's the best way to avoid until we start to clean up our act in this country.
Right. Which, at the rate we're going, it's going to be never.
We're going to all be breatharians.
Unfortunately, I was hoping that Bernie was going to, but there was so much against him. And, you know, I saw him as maybe the savior, but I don't see the other candidates as doing much different than what's being done now. But we'll get away from the politics, I guess.
Yeah, we could have fun on that one.
Right. Anne, you've mentioned the paleo diet. What is the difference between the anti-candida, the paleo, the GAP, and some of the other diets?
Well, basically, you know, with the paleo, it's more protein-driven, and they allow a little bit more fruit and possibly small amounts of honey or maple syrup. For me, it's not. I do keep the protein in, but it's smaller amounts depending on if you lean more towards vegetarian or vegan. Because my thing is that when you're doing too many carbs, whether it's coming through the gluten-free grains or seed-like grains that I give people and or legumes, it's still going to feed yeast. So I think some of the variants there, it's much more protein-heavy. I think we both agree that it's more vegetable-heavy, but there's some leniency there. And for me, it's all about keeping the sugars down and the carbohydrates down, and GAPs and FODMAP. Some of these have to do with histamine, so it has all these variances. I don't know them exactly, but the whole goal is in the same way to keep inflammation down. And I think all of them have their place, but you know, you have to know that if you start increasing animal protein, most people become constipated, so you have to make sure you're eliminating the bowels. Otherwise, you've just recycled that, and you've become more toxic. And not everybody has great digestion and can handle that. And some people don't even have a desire for eating more meat, et cetera. So, you know, it's finding what works best for you and also, but anything that does, this is what I will say, any food program that reduces the volume of sugars, gets off the processed foods, mm-hmm. even takes the carbs down to a, more of a minimum, is beneficial, because we're dealing with an epidemic of diabetes and obesity and so many conditions. And then we've got 1 out of 2 with cancer, 1 out of 5 with autoimmune disease. It's just, this is a time where people have to have more personal accountability.
Right.
And that's not a judgment. It just is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you want health, you're going to have to be more focused on that and take some action.
Right. And I try in my own life. I stay vegan pretty much, but twice a week I go off and I will, usually what I eat is eggs and cheese because I miss my cheese.
I bet you're going to say a Big Mac.
No, I haven't eaten beef in probably 35, 40 years. I have no desire for beef. I will have occasionally a little piece of wild salmon, and it's not as good, but I'll have a piece of a tuna steak.
Okay.
Mostly, I have eggs in my cheese twice a week when I go off.
Yeah, and I think that's good, because when people do, like, vegan, people ask me, the thing with being a vegan, as you might know, being one, you have to know chemistry. If you're going to take away all that, you need to come in with knowing that, you know, because your body's over 50% protein.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
I say, if you can throw in animal protein 2-3 times a week, if you're open to that. If not, you need to supplement with things like B12, methyl B12. You need to put in amino acid supplementation, things like spirulina, chlorella. You got to know a little bit what you're doing. Otherwise, I find people come in quite malnourished, let's say, and not knowing what they're doing.
Yeah. I think that some of what I do, I just kind of fall into it. I don't know how, because I do take spirulina, but I don't remember how I started doing that. I think I saw it one day and I thought, oh, well, this would be good. I mean, I do a lot of this. I think that I must have a little bit of intuitive ability, but I'm not aware of it. It's just that when I look back, I've done all the right things for what I'm doing, but I wasn't consciously aware of doing it at the point I did it, if that makes sense. So
yes, total sense.
Yeah. So then also in your cookbook, you mentioned vegan and vegetarian. Do you also have some recipes that are gluten sensitive? Like for me?
All of it. Everything's gluten-free in there, because that's one of the things that irritates people the most. So it's gluten-free, dairy-free, sugar-free. And yeast-free in the sense that, you know, people will give me some grief that I have apple cider vinegar that's raw, but I find if you refrigerate it, it's not an issue. So I really did. So it doesn't matter what you're on or what you're doing. It's going to really, you're going to find something for everybody in there.
Great.
And mainly, people are so happy because, like, desserts.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing they'll miss. Or bread. And I have stuff that's even grain-free in there. So it's got a little bit of something for everybody, and particularly more dips and sauces, because I don't like things boring. So there's a lot in that part of the section of the book. And, you know, some recipes take a little longer. Some are really easy. And, you know, you just pick out what you like from there. But even if you have a couple more options than what you're normally used to, it'll make you more successful and just add variety. Because I live more, I practice what I preach.
Mm-hmm.
And I live more of, let's say, of an expanded anti-candida diet. I never feel deprived. My taste buds have changed. I could never even eat what I ate when I was the first 18 years of my life. And when I do travel or I go off a bit because I'm vacationing or this or that, I don't like it. After a day or two, I'm like, I've got to get back in my groove.
Right,
so it's
right.
not even a have to, it's a want to.
Mm-hmm. Right. I feel the same.
Yeah.
Right. One thing, though, that I do want to try, and that is I live alone, and so I tend to fall in the pattern of having basically the same thing every day, which you said you need variety, and I want variety. But I was looking the other day at, you know, getting meals brought in, because it's not that expensive when you live alone to have the meals sent. And so I found a site called Purple Carrot. Are you familiar with that?
And no, I'm not.
They have organic meals that they ship to you once a week. And you can get meals for twice a day, I think it is, for 5 days or something like that. And they're reasonable. They're like, I think they average like $12 a meal, which is not bad at all. And it's variety. The only problem was none of them were gluten sensitive. And so I have found another site that I need to explore a little bit more that look like they did have gluten sensitive foods. So, and they're organic. So I may try that, which would then give me some variety.
You just send me your address. I'm going to send you a cookbook. So there might be little things out of there you could do there easy.
Oh, really? Good. Good. Yeah, I always ask, there's someone at Trader Joe's where I shop. Well, I go to three stores, Trader Joe's, Whole Foods, and Fresh Market. But at Trader Joe's, there's one of the people that works there is a vegan, and so I always ask him, and he gives me some recipes here and there along the way of what his wife cooks, so that works too. But the recipe book, that would be good. That'd be great.
Then, my pleasure.
Great. Then do you want to talk more about desserts and bread and all? Because that's something that I think most people think is part of the anti-candida diet, right?
Well, they don't think that they can have that. But, you know, we're creative now in the sense that because of all the gluten sensitivity, we now have coconut flour and almond flour and sorghum flour. We have all this variety now to play with and have other things. So in that cookbook are some even tortillas. There's a really garlic, you know, rosemary paleo bread, which is excellent. I even have waffles and pancakes in there. Mm. And there's also desserts. So there's really no, you know, at this point, you know, in the beginning when I was doing this and laying it out, it was more challenging, and people at times are just like, I need the variety to stay on this. And so now there's no excuse. And even if you make a batch of the garlic rosemary bread, then you have a couple slices for the week. So, and there's one thing I love. It's a very simple recipe because people miss cheese terribly. And it's a Brazil nut cheese where you just literally take raw garlic with Brazil nuts and sea salt. And when you put that in the food processor, you sprinkle it, it tastes like cheese. And if you can't handle raw garlic, you can blanch it. It's the best thing. It's just a little thing to doctor up so you don't feel like your salads are so boring. And the Brazil nuts are great with selenium and great for your thyroid, et cetera. So very simple things, you know, and just enough to keep, because that's what I find that when I was doing the anti-candida years ago, I was so bored. And I wanted more variety, so I kept that in mind when we did this cookbook.
It's always good when summer comes because there's so many vegetables and things that you don't have during the winter months. So I'm enjoying this time of the year here in Virginia, at least, and even the Vidalis onions. Oh my word! You know, nothing like
that. You can saute those up. They're great.
right. Then, Anne, is there anything else you'd like to say before we look at your books and services and how the listeners can reach you?
I just like to also, I love to go into the psychological realm of people and just really letting them know that, you know, so much of health and well-being has to do with, you know, where your thought energy is and, you know, whether you're setting the tone each day to nurture yourself. You know, anytime you're working with health issues and all that, I find that the reason people get into that is because they're not honoring themselves and they're either in denial about things or in toxic relationships or situations and struggling with the courage to be able to make those steps. And I find that sometimes it is the very reason why people will have a health condition is to make them more aware of how important it is to tune in and take care of themselves. And that kind of gives them then more the dimension to build on, because I find that when you have a spiritual body, you have an emotional body and physical. And particularly when I specialize in autoimmune conditions. And when I find that when you are more in spiritual and emotional alignment, and everybody has different ways in how they do that, the physical body and physical matter move much quicker to regain homeostasis. And that's such an important element, because if you're on an anti-candida diet and you're taking supplements, et cetera, but if you have exorbitantly high amount of stress and you're not neutralizing that, I don't care how many pills you take or what you do, you're still not going to heal. So it's really important that that's also something that people are willing to look at, because you need the quality sleep and you need exercise and you have to have a daily bowel movement and you've got to eat more, you know, cleaner foods and stuff. But you know, I think whether it's simple breathing exercises to meditation, mm-hmm. to even doing a hobby that you love, everything mm-hmm. that gets you more into the now moment and letting go of fear-based emotions and thought patterns then allows you to heal much faster.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like it that you use the holistic approach because that was so important when I had lung cancer 42 years ago. And the doctor gave me all the physical things to do, but he never mentioned mental, spiritual. And I had been involved with the Edgar Cayce readings for a few years before. So I added things like prayer, meditation, visualization, affirmation. I was on church prayer list. I called Olga Worrell a psychic healer, one of the best mm-hmm. known at that time. I was on her list, and I used, you know, all kinds of mental, spiritual things. And to me, prayer, optimism, faith are as important as anything that the doctor gives you.
And I think that's miraculous, and I totally agree with you. I mean, that's all I did is, even though when I was dealing with multiple sclerosis, I was petrified in the body that couldn't function because it wasn't, you know, mm-hmm. the things you take mm-hmm. for granted, like breathing, swallowing, moving, I wasn't able to do, and I was petrified, and I would cry each day, mm-hmm. but I would always end that day or that morning with seeing myself fully functioning through visualization.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it is. It's sometimes hard, and particularly when you're not getting the support because that's not what the masses
right,
believe.
Right, right, right.
Or your physician. So it's a really sometimes fine line, but I think that that's really how you do accelerate because we are energy. We really break down, we're energy. And so I find that, you know, it's the element that I work with most, particularly if I'm hitting roadblocks with mm-hmm. someone. But that's mm-hmm. really my gift is when I sit down with someone and do their, you know, I'm with them an hour and a half, 2 hours, my gift as an intuitive is I can zone right in to mm-hmm. where they're
mm-hmm.
blocked.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, bring it out and I have a lot of tools to offer them. And I find that when they do that and they marry that with it, it's because a lot of people have a hard time trusting. And what
right,
I found personally...
Right.
You have to learn how to get to a place of honor. And when you honor, meaning you're treating yourself with kindness, love, respect, et cetera, when you have honor, then you can begin to trust. And when you trust, then your faith enhances and everything starts to change. Because
mm-hmm.
that was what my hurdle was, how do you trust? I
mm-hmm.
knew that was an element. I didn't know how to get there. So those are principles and things that I break down with people if I find that they're stuck in those areas.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I think we're coming back to what we used to do way before Western medicine, because we were filled with naturopaths and osteopaths and homeopaths and this and that. And I think hopefully we're finding our way, even Eastern medicine, to just looking at the whole person because we are that.
Right.
And
right.
when you come from that place, I think it just not only it uplifts people because you realize there's many more solutions than what seems to be presented in this country.
You mentioned not getting support for the things that you were doing, and I found the same thing 42 years ago. Even my mother, and I knew my mother loved me, but she was so worried that she'd say, mm-hmm. well, why don't you just do what the doctor wants you to do, and then you can do these other things. Well, I knew that I was not to do what the doctor wanted me to do. My friend had worked with me on our dreams because it was a dream that led me to the x-ray that diagnosed me in the first place. And so we worked on our dreams. She suggested a psychic reading. I had a reading. Everything said I should continue treating it naturally, not with medicine. And they kept telling me I'd be dead in 6 months. Well, my colleagues were all nurses, and they all were opposed to not doing what the doctor tells you. You know, and so Ursula, my friend, was really about the only support I had. But that
wow.
support is so important when you're going through something like that.
It is, because for me, it was only my mother that was willing to walk that line with me because she had seen how much I struggled. And I'm not anti-Western. I tell people there's many ways to get
mm-hmm.
to the light of
mm-hmm.
the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
Some people need to do both. But what you mentioned was a very important point is fear. What I find, I'll get someone with MS or an autoimmune condition, and they're willing, after they get educated, to go this route. But it's the family members who are still ignorant because
mm-hmm.
all they
mm-hmm.
know is the Western medicine or what they've been presented. And so they place their worry and fear on that person that's dealing with the condition, and that sometimes forces them to use medication that they don't want to do. So it's always about education. And
right,
I tell people,
right,
when you're trying to make a decision whether you're going to go one way or not, ask yourself what your fear is at. If you're more afraid of taking a drug and side effects, maybe not the best choice.
Mm-hmm.
If you're
mm-hmm.
more afraid of, you know, basically what's going to happen to your body if you don't, then take them. And that can change through a course of a journey if you're dealing more with a chronic situation. So what I've discovered and seen thousands and thousands of clients mm-hmm. in 18 years, there are many ways to get there. And so you need to be open. But the thing that bothers me most is how much we have imposed fear
mm-hmm.
through advertising
right.
and
right.
commercials
mm-hmm.
to believe that you're going to have, you need a drug for every twitch, sneeze,
right.
tick, everything. And I said that that's what I'll do, is I educate people to feel empowered and to realize how magical and how intelligent the body is and how it knows how to heal. So I really come from that perspective of reminding people really who they are and what their body is,
mm-hmm.
so they feel
mm-hmm.
more optimistic than fear-based.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I believe the same. And I think that people should make their own decision, but they need all of the information to make that decision. And traditional medicine typically does not give all of the information, especially if with cancer. You know, it's like there are no ways other than surgery, radiation, and chemotherapy. And so I believe that people need to have all of that information and then make the decision that's right for them and then be supported. And so my brother, who is 92, he developed lung cancer 2 years ago, which I thought was interesting because that's what I had 42 years
interesting.
Ago. Interesting. And he elected radiation because that's what his
mm-hmm.
doctor of 40 years wanted. So I supported him because I believe that when we make a decision, it's empowering and we need to support that. But I did ask him if he would also take Laetril, which was what I had used, and he suggests he would. But his memory wasn't as good, and I don't think he remembered to do it very often. And it was a downhill, you know, thing
mm-hmm.
after that. He had 6 weeks of 5 days a week for 6 weeks, which I thought was a little too much for a 92-year-old. And then
sure.
he had a 2-week rest, and then he got up to go to the bathroom, couldn't walk. And they put
mm-hmm.
him in the hospital, and they told him the tumor had not shrunk, and they were going to do chemo. And his daughter said, I just
Oof.
Want him comfortable. And so,
right.
I mean, he didn't live very long after that. I think he was holding on because he had been married over 70 years, and he did not want to leave his wife. And
oh, wow.
once he was told, his daughter, you know, talked with him and said it was all right to go. They would take care of her, et cetera, et cetera. And then he was willing to let go. But he, you know, I believe personally that he would have lived longer had he done nothing. He wouldn't have lived indefinitely because he was 92 years old.
Sure.
But I think he'd have been more comfortable and would have lived longer without the radiation, but that was his decision. And so,
well, and I think that goes into the bigger, certainly my passion is to help change the paradigm, because people
mm-hmm.
are not conscious enough, and then we don't also give enough education to people to make those choices.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really more of my mission, to do more teaching and speaking so that they realize there's answers and options, and just we're not being given all the tools we can to make
right.
informed choices. We're just really not. And that's really the shame.
Right, definitely. Then, Anne, would you like to tell us about your books, your services, if you have any
sure.
products, and how the listeners can reach you?
The best way to find out about me is going to my website, which is annbaroque.com, annborocc.com. And on there, it'll take you to all my books and everything are in Barnes & Noble and on Amazon. And also the supplements that I use, this my own supplement line with the Candida Cure. And both of my books are also on the website. So I've made it very full service. It talks about my consultations because I do Skype sessions all around the world, and mm-hmm. I also do in-office visits in Manhattan. So everything that you need is there, and I really did write my book so that if people couldn't afford to see me, or for whatever reason, I pretty much try to put my heart and soul in there to give you everything that you need at your fingertips. But if you need more personal attention, then certainly you can reach out to me.
Mm-hmm. Great. Good. Well, I appreciate this very much, Anne. It's been interesting, and I know it will be helpful, and I hope we'll talk again.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for your courage to do all that you've done and offer what you're doing, because, you know, to beat lung cancer way back when and all that, you know, that's just, those are pioneers, and you're considered a pioneer in that way, and that takes a lot of courage. So I
right.
thank you for that, and thank you for having me as a guest.
Thank you. And you're a pioneer, too, with your multiple sclerosis, you know, because that's not often that someone overcomes that.
No, it's not, but I'd like to make it more the norm. I think that's where the paradigm needs to shift in the belief system, because mm-hmm. I really think that's really what it comes down to, is what you believe. Now, that
right.
doesn't mean mm-hmm. once you change your belief, physical matter changes tomorrow.
Right.
But it does
right.
mean if you do those action steps that eventually you, physical matter, will match your belief.
Great. Good. Thank you, Anne.
All right. Thank you.
Because we have some time left today, I would like to talk with you about my new Cancer Foundation and an opportunity that I think will be of interest to you. My new Cancer Foundation can be found at www.holisticcancerfoundation.com. On the site, you will see first a video of the foundation. You will also see the goals, which are education, research, and patient care. I have an impressive board and advisory board for this foundation, and you can look at these on the site. I have worked for over a year getting content on the site, including interviews with cancer patients and doctors, cancer research, cancer treatment, and what is different on my site is research on mental, spiritual interventions and interviews with experts for interviews like affirmations, visualization, prayer, meditation, gratitude, forgiveness, and many others. These are included because I believe that disease results from multiple factors, and consequently, a holistic approach is necessary for recovering from cancer. To me, prayer, faith, optimism, and others are as important in treatment as medication, supplements, diet, and other interventions. I have experience to support this belief. Having used a holistic approach since 1970, when I volunteered as a camp nurse for the Edgar Cayce organization. It was natural to use this approach when I was diagnosed with lung cancer in 1974. Curing this disease with all natural holistic interventions, I continued using the approach in my personal life and with clients, and am now considered a pioneer in holistic health. I have worked for the past 5 to 6 months on the website section on prevention of cancer. This finished in a download gift of this material, around 50 pages, available for those who donate $12 or more to the foundation and receive a tax deduction receipt plus this gift. The booklet available as a download, titled Reduce Your Cancer Risk, A Holistic Approach. It will include the following. First, as a longtime educator, I like to start my writing with a theoretical framework in which to place the content. So there is first a theoretical framework based upon public health concepts. This framework will basically look at first, ways to reduce the risk of known environmental carcinogens, and second, ways to strengthen the host against environmental and other carcinogens. Content on reducing the effect of known environmental carcinogens include electromagnetic waves, toxic chemicals such as BPA, formaldehyde, toxic metals such as aluminum and mercury, and last, ultraviolet waves. For all areas, there will be research related to the carcinogen, what you can do to reduce the risk, and an interview with an expert for many of these. The second part looks at ways to strengthen the host or you against carcinogens. It includes areas such as physical activities, nutrition, including genetically modified organisms, organic food, etc., fluids, water and milk, supplements, vitamins, minerals, immune builders, sleep, smoking cessation, music, and then it moves into mental, spiritual interventions that includes affirmations, compassion, faith, forgiveness, gratitude, meditation, optimism, prayer, relaxation exercises, serving or helping others, social support, stress reduction, and visualization. Again, for each of these, there is research, what to do to strengthen yourself against cancer, and interviews with experts for many of these. You will hear interviews with 30 cancer or related experts on mental, spiritual interventions, such as forgiveness, gratitude, faith, and compassion. You'll hear about omega-3s, genetically modified organisms, genetically modified food, plant-based and other nutritional diets, smoking cessation, chemical and mental carcinogens, immune builders, music, and much, much more. So I hope this will be helpful to you and will help in preventing cancer in the future. I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show, and I hope some of the information will be useful to you. I invite you to my websites, holistichealthshow.com, where you will find all shows for the past 7 years under the blog. You will also find much of the research on natural ways to deal with cancer and other health conditions, and can sign up for my free monthly newsletter. On my website, beatlungcancer.net, you will find many of the 135 interviews from radio and television over the past 2 years about my book on treating lung cancer naturally and holistically when I was diagnosed 41 years ago next month and given 6 months to live by traditional medicine who offered chemo and surgery. This book was published in November 2012 and was a bestseller on Amazon. You will find endorsements of the book, a place to buy the book, and an earlier one from 2007 titled Healthy Holistic Aging, A Blueprint for Success. On my third website, you will find information on the Carl O'Helvey Holistic Cancer Foundation, begun last year and currently in the phase of completing the website. This site is at www.holisticcancerfoundation.com. Information on how the foundation differs from others, board members, research on holistic natural ways to deal with cancer, including mental and spiritual interventions, interviews with cancer physicians and survivors, and more. If you would like to donate to the work I am supporting, there is a tab to donate, and I can offer you a tax exemption receipt if living in the United States. I also invite you to join me on Facebook at my Facebook page, www.facebook.com/Carl Helvey. On my Holistic Health Show page at www.facebook.com/pages/Holistic Health Show.
and the Carl O'Helvey Holistic Cancer Foundation page at www.facebook.com/beatlungcancernaturalalternative. On LinkedIn, I invite you to join me under my name, Dr. Carl O'Helvey. On Twitter, I invite you to join me at www.twitter.com/HolistHealthShow, HolistHealthShow. I wish you a great week, and I look forward to having you here in 2 weeks. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host.